Well, friends, we have finally reached, after a few months, reached the end of our journey through John's majestic gallery of, as it were, portraits, pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this final chapter of this wonderful book, we find a portrait of the Lord Jesus that is thrilling to the Christian, thrilling to the saints of God to see. And let me say to you this, friends, this message may come at the beginning. It may come as a hard-hitting message. And if you are not a Christian here this morning, I would say to you that this message might be very much for directed to the Christians, but you see for yourself, if you are not a Christian, how does Jesus Christ deals with his own people? But also to see and realize that Christians fail. Christians fall. And sometimes they fall miserably. Sometimes for a long period of time, they go far from the Lord. But you see as well how the Lord Jesus Christ is so gracious to them. He calls them back. And if this morning the Lord Jesus Christ called some of you back to himself, if you are falling away or falling, walking far away from him, and none of us know. We can, you know, we can put on our suits and we can be outwardly display a form of Christianity and godliness. But our hearts could be far from the Lord. And so if God would bring you to a closer walk with him, that is our prayers answered. So here in these verses that we read together, you have the Lord Jesus Christ showing himself as the Savior of the fallen. This is the side of Jesus Christ that I have come to familiar with over the years. There have been many occasions when I had to come to the Lord Jesus, confessing my own sins and my own failures and seeking forgiveness and restoration. And each time, I have found him to be a faithful Savior, a faithful friend to those who have fallen by the wayside, as it were. And while the focus of this chapter is on the Lord Jesus, yes, of course, there is also a major emphasis placed on the interactions between the Savior and Peter. And it's that thing that I want us to think about this morning. And pray to God that it would directly speak to you as well, if you are not walking close to the Lord. Maybe the things of God aren't as sweet as they used to be. And some of you who are converted and you look back and see in your life how you used to be when you were saved. Maybe there isn't the heat, the burning love that you used to have right now with you. Maybe the gathering together, maybe coming to church, maybe the worship of God, communion of the saints, the prayers, privately, publicly, the reading of the Word and feeding on the Word of God and His people. Maybe these things are not like they used to be. Maybe a spiritual life and obedience to His Word, like witnessing and the worship of God and prayer and anything spiritual. Maybe any of these things have been drudgery for you and a toil for you. It's too hard for you. Maybe these things are too true. And my duty this morning is to tell you that it doesn't have to remain like that. Jesus Christ is still the Savior and friend of the fallen. And so as we look at these verses, pray to God that God would apply it, that you would turn around like a soldier that is marching in one direction, and then he hears the call. Turn! And he would stop and turn and go the other way. And that's what it is. There are times in our lives that God comes powerfully and calls us, halt, stop, and turn and follow me. And the first point that I have is this, of Peter's failure. Peter's failure. And that is why we read Matthew 26. In Matthew 26 that we read together, we see how it describes the fact that here is Peter, one of the apostles, who fails very badly. So before we can see how the Lord restored this fallen preacher, this fallen apostle, we must first understand what happened to Peter and how he came to be fallen in the first place. And you think about of the place of it. Peter was in the wrong place altogether. In the beginning, Peter had made his boast some time back. Peter had made his boast that he would never forsake the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would never, he would be willing to go to prison and even to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet when the time came and when the Lord Jesus was arrested, Peter, like all others, forsook him, forsook the Lord Jesus and fled. However, it says in verse 58 of Matthew 26, it speaks and tells us that Peter decided to follow the Lord and see what happened. But he followed Jesus afar off, it says, afar off. And so when Peter found himself surrounded by the Lord's enemies, it became hard for him to stand to his earlier boast. Friends, peer pressure is a thing that affects us all. You might think harshly of Peter, but how many times you have given in? How many times you have not said anything because of peer pressure? We are all the same. Now he is taking the easy way out, and he denies that he even knows the Lord Jesus. Essentially, friends, all backsliding begins in the same way. All those believers who begin to walk afar off spiritually, they are cold at heart. It begins in the same way. Instead of staying as close to the Lord Jesus as we should, we begin to follow him afar off. And it may begin as simply missing our fellowship with him, daily times of fellowship and worship and prayer and reading of the scriptures. And we miss a few times, and then it lengthens, and a week goes by. And we have not really prayed. We have not really sought the Lord. We have not really studied his word. And then we begin to miss fellowship with God's people, with other people. We miss gathering together for worship. And it begins, it's just now and again. And then it becomes a month and then 2 months. And it just continues like that. And we try to give in our minds reasons why these things are happening and ease our own consciences. But you know yourself that things are not like what they used to be. And it begins slowly. And you end up in a place that you never thought you would be. Peter was in a place that he never thought he would be. Dear friends, and I want to be as clear as I can be. There may be some of us that are in that wrong place this morning. And you need to rekindle the old flame and make things right with God. Go back to the Lord, even today. Being in the wrong place is dangerous. You simply ask David. He was in the wrong place, and he saw, and he fell into sin with Bathsheba. And then think about the pain of it. When Peter denied the Lord that night, the Bible tells us that he went out and he wept bitterly. That's what we read. He went out, and at the end of verse 75 in Matthew 26, and wept bitterly. Peter was miserable in his new state of life. He knew that he had violated something very precious and sacred. His own Lord he had denied. He was a miserable man. Bitterness of soul. It's a heavy burden to carry. So it is with every true Christian who decides to walk away and let the things of this world and various things come in. And it begins to walk away from the things that God has said, from the will of God. And you'll soon realize that sin brings with it pain and suffering and misery. It's never a happy thing. And so we read in Proverbs, Solomon says, the way of transgressors is hard. Do you see your life, things, hard things in your life? Is it due to the fact that you're going your own way? Gone will be the peace of God and the sense of God's presence. Gone will be his power and his joy in your soul. And that joy is worth more than gold. Sin is a thief, you see. Sin is a robber. It steals youth. It steals your peace. It steals your joy. It destroys innocence. It destroys effectiveness. And something that could be godly and good in your life could be destroyed. Sin has the ability to make you into a very miserable person. Are you a miserable person? Are you grumpy, not just because you got up early in the morning, but because of your soul? You're carrying a great weight, and for whatever reason, you are not taking it to the Lord. So here is maybe the Lord is saying, stop, halt, this morning. And this passage, we haven't planned this. It was part of the next chapter as we were going through. So if it is applicable to you, it's certainly various parts of it is applicable to me, then we ought to stop and turn and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the prodigal son? Let us not carry on until we reach his point. He wasn't a very happy man, was he, when he was in the pig pen? When his friends had gone? When his money had run out? No. He primarily thought how much better off he would have been back in his father's house. So sin will make us miserable. And Peter went out, wept bitterly. And think about the price of it. After Peter sinned, he felt a definite loss of fellowship. He felt the loss of peace and joy. He knew that things were different. And here I'm talking primarily to Christians, because it is Christians who can walk away from the Lord because they were with the Lord. But my friends, if you're not a Christian, you've never walked with him, you've never followed him. And maybe today God is saying to you, you must begin. You must begin to seek him with all your heart. And the scripture says he will be gracious to you and you will find him. So if you are a believer, you should expect a kind of loss in different things. This thing that Peter had a great price tag on it. And the things that we do when we go our own way and we walk away from the things of God, it has a great price tag on it. And I'm sure we have all experienced it. Every Christian at some point in their life experiences something of this. So you can relate to this. But there is hope, my friends. There is hope in Jesus Christ, because he has come not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. So the message of the gospel is for all sinners, both saved sinners and unsaved sinners. Sin is a cruel taskmaster, and it will beat you up black and blue. But the Lord Jesus Christ receives, and he binds the wounds, and he heals the soul. That's what he does. Peter failed, and he failed big. However, many of us, we might say that we would never do anything like that. We wouldn't deny the Lord. And yet we can be guilty of denying the Lord. And I'm certain that there are people here this morning that they need to hear this message, and they need to stop and pause today and call upon the Lord. The second thing is this. So we have seen something of Peter's failure. But then think about his foolishness. He had to be foolish in certain ways. And we see it in the choices that he makes. And now you turn to John 21 and you see for yourself some of the choices that Peter makes there. In verse 3, it says this, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. So here is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter must have assumed that everything was over for him. He must have assumed that his ministry, his service for the Lord, his walk with the Lord was all over. He was rejected altogether. The Lord would not have him. And so that is the decision he makes, the choice that he makes. And that was foolish. He had denied the Lord. Yes, of course. And so he decided to return to the old way of life. He might naturally have said, well, I've got a family to look after. I have a family to support. But whatever the motivation, Peter had been called to forsake all things, you see. It wasn't just in the good times, and it wasn't just because he was following or all was well spiritually with him, but all the time, the Lord said, in good days and in bad days, follow me. The Lord called him in Matthew 4. And the Lord's call had been a call to come and to be a fisher of men. You see, people who are out of God's will, they would make wrong choices. They always base the decision so on fleshly motives rather than spiritual ones. And there is always a reason for it. They would have always a reason or an excuse for the way they do things, the choices that they are making. And this is what Peter did. And he was foolish and wrong because of it. And there may be some here this morning who have started to go back, or maybe for a while you have been on this track of life, which is not much different to your old way of life. You may even be able to justify to yourself to some degree, to satisfy yourself. But you need to know this morning that if you are not following the Savior, following after him, and loving him like you should and like you used to, like Peter, you too are backslidden and out of God's will, in the sense that you are going the opposite way that he has called you to. And that may be harsh, that may be a negative thing you might think, but that's the fact. Your spiritual condition shows on you. Other believers who are walking after the Lord, they see it, they notice it. It shows in the priority you place on the things of God. And so don't think that you're fooling anyone, certainly not God, but only yourself. But then see about his companions. See his companions. It says in verse 3, Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And then they say unto him, we also go with thee. See, Peter wasn't just the only one. There were this other bunch with him, other disciples as well with him. And they were no better. They were also following the same things. Their point of a spiritual life was not good either. If they had been, they were listening to the Lord's call, not Peter's call. You see, the Lord Jesus had said to them to wait and go into Galilee and wait for him. But they also thought, maybe because we forsook him, it wasn't for us. Maybe it was for better Christians, better followers. But my friends, let me tell you this. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his heart's blood on the cross for sinners, not for those who are right with God. He died for us so that we might be made right with God. But you cannot fix your life. You cannot wash away your sins by your own self. But also you cannot separate yourself from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when a person backslides, they usually aren't content to go and do those things by themselves. It's usually with others. You gather one or two other people who are in the similar state than you. And that is what Peter did there. So you ask yourself, the people who are around you, are they spiritually on fire for God? Is their life surrendered to the Lord? Sadly, we try often to reproduce our spiritual temperature, as it were, in the lives of those who are close to us. And that makes us to feel comfortable. But then look at the consequences. What happened? Peter and his friends, they're all fishermen. They go fishing. And most of these men had been professional fishermen. Not like you and I. It was their life. It was their career. And they had gone out fishing. And it must have been a devastating thing for them. Have they lost the gift? Have they lost the skills that they had? They toil, it says, all night. They labored all the night. Did they catch anything? Nothing. They produced nothing of value. And this is just the way it works for those who are out of God's will and going, walking at a distance from the Lord. It just gets worse and worse, it seems. No matter what they try to accomplish in their own strength, it always comes to nothing. Maybe that is you. Maybe you are like that prodigal son. He found this out as he sat in the pig pen and watched the pigs eat those husks. He couldn't even fill his own belly through self-effort. And I would like to remind every person in this room this morning that you and I are totally dependent on the Lord. You and I are not self-sufficient. You think you are. But I trust the fact that you are here is a show, at least outwardly. But I trust inwardly you need the Lord. That's why you're here. You haven't come here to socialize, I trust. You've come to meet with God, to hear His word. That's what you have come for. You've come to the courts, a heavenly courts. And you can't produce anything unless you are at one with the Lord. Yes, you might say, well, I'm still thriving physically, materially. Things are going well generally, outwardly. May I remind you that both of these things, your physical well-being, your family, your work, all of these things, they're all temporary. They soon pass away. Many Christians will see much of their lives go up in flames before their very eyes on that final day. What will happen when we face Jesus Christ? Are the things that we have been doing and gathering in our lives, as the Bible says, wood, hay, and stubble? Or are they things that glorifies Him? So it was the failure of Peter, the foolishness of Peter. But see then Peter's Savior and friend. That's what we want to think about now. Peter's Savior and friend. And that's what you see in verses 4 onwards in John 21. Even though Peter had wandered into sin, he still hadn't gone so far that the Lord had stopped loving him. Peter still had a Savior. Peter still had a friend. And that made all the difference. And what do we find in verse 4? He found him. The Lord Jesus found him. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. He didn't realize. Peter didn't recognize the Lord at the beginning, but Jesus knew him. And that's all that mattered. So after the sin, after the return to the old life, after the long night of failure, the Lord Jesus stepped onto the scene and in a few minutes turned everything around and made things like they ought to be. What made the difference? There was a change in Peter. There was a change in Peter. God was working miraculously in Peter, not just in the catching of fish. Notice there are a number of things, and our time is going fast, but let me mention at least three things that changed when Jesus Christ came by. In verse 5, what do we read? When Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Peter was forced here, first of all, to admit his failure. He was forced to admit that he had failed. And this is the first step of coming back home, as it were. It's the first step of coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be an acknowledgement of sin. We have caught nothing, he says in verse 3. He says, and we have toiled all night, and we have caught nothing. And we must acknowledge that. We have caught nothing. We have done wrong. John tells us in his first epistle, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, familiar verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How is that possible? Because Jesus' death on the cross is still of great value, that he died for our sins. But another thing that we see is that not just that Peter is forced to admit his failure, but we see that Peter started to obey the Lord Jesus. He started to obey again. He'd not done that for a while, but now he does. He stopped doing the things Peter's way and started doing things the Lord's way. And this brought success. The Lord said, cast the net to the other side. And the Lord blessed it. Peter obeyed. That brought success where there was only failure. Can you see yourself in that? And then look at the third thing is in verse 7. Peter had a renewed desire to be near to the Lord. It says there that, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. So he wasn't willing to wait for a more convenient time. He wasn't going to wait for, we'll just wait for a little longer. But he went himself, he ran, he swam to meet the Lord immediately. He couldn't stop. Like the prodigal son, he went back home. He wouldn't stay any longer with the pigs. So, friends, if you're one of those who has wandered away from the Lord Jesus, you're presently walking in a far country, then you need to know that you still have a Savior, you still have a friend who sticks closer than any of your brothers and sisters. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forsaken you. He still loves those whom he saved. And he loves you as much right now as he ever has. So come to the place where Peter was now. Come to the place where Peter came to. Be willing to confess your sins and begin again to follow him and to love him like you ought to. By the way, no matter where you run, the Lord will find you. He is the good shepherd of the sheep. He comes after his own. He takes them and brings them back to the fold again. He has too much invested in us. Even his own blood he invested to save us. And that will not be wasted. So why not go to him even now? Before things really become tough for you. Why not repent and turn around and hear the voice of Jesus says, halt, stop, come back to me. There's still time to serve the Lord this side of the grave. And then what do you find is that he fed him. Verses 9 onwards. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. So when Peter and the disciples reached the shore, they found that Jesus had a fire prepared with fish already cooking. They found there with the Savior all the things they needed after being out on that boat all night long. They found food, they found warmth, they found fellowship. They found a Savior who loved them and who had all the provisions in place that they needed. And everything they lacked out on that boat, they found when they came to Jesus Christ. And dear friends, and I don't know all the things of your life. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know the toils that you have gone, the labors that you have been under, the heavy weight that you carry. I don't know that, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows. And maybe you're miserable and you might put a plastic smile in front of people. And maybe there is no peace, no joy in your life. And you need to then this morning get right with the Lord. There is a Savior. There is a friend for the fallen. And he freed him. Peter is freed. Look at verses 15 onwards. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. In these verses there, we find the Lord Jesus Christ recommissioning Simon Peter for service. He says, I have not done with you, Simon. I'm sure that Peter felt that his work and his spiritual life was forever gone. But Jesus Christ came to call him back into the fight, as it were. Come, feed my lambs. So this was a time of unique fellowship and restoration between Jesus and Peter. And in these few verses, the Lord Jesus Christ frees Peter from the bondage of his sin and the failure and sets him back to go back to his business of serving the Lord and his people. And the same will be true, my friends, for every backslidden child, everyone who feels cold and who is so far gone, maybe. And the Lord says, come back. Come back. Anyone who returns to the Father's house, as it were, will be received. You still have a friend in Christ, regardless of how far you have fallen. And finally, think about Peter's future. In verses 18 and 19, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. What would be the future? What would the future hold for this restored man of God? And these verses tell us the answer to that question. Notice that the Lord is speaking about the sacrifice, that Peter's future will be a future one of sacrifice. Peter would eventually give his life for the Lord, who had saved him and who had restored him. Peter's call was literally to follow Jesus Christ to the point of death. And tradition has it that Peter was eventually put to death by crucifixion, and that at his own request, he said he wanted to be crucified upside down because he said he does not feel worthy to die like his Lord. Well, my friends, if you come back to Christ, those of you who are backslidden, if you come back to Jesus Christ this morning and make a renewed commitment to him, you see how much he has loved us. You need to know that this is something that is serious. God expects you to be serious about your commitment, and he expects you to follow him in a sacrificial lifestyle that places his will above your will and above your family's will. And this is the only formula for true success in the Christian life. But also, his future was one of service. Yes, there is sacrifice involved, but it's one of service. In verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify him, God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. So Peter is told that his life from this moment forward is to glorify God. He is no longer to live for self, but in everything, he is to live for the glory of God and to follow the Savior. God's plan is the same with every one of his born-again children. His will is that you and I live lives that pleases him, and to bring glory to his honor and glory to the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and to follow him. And here he was to surrender. He says, follow him. He was to surrender to the Lord. So the last call is like the first. The last call of commitment is one of the first, when he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So regardless of how deep, my friends, you may have fallen into sin, stop. Please know that today the Lord hasn't changed his mind about you if you are a Christian. God gives the same command to you this very day that he gave to Peter, follow me. All the Lord Jesus Christ desires of you and called you to is to have a surrendered life, one that is lived for the glory of God, one that exalts him, and one that is lived according to his will and service. That is what he simply wants. Follow him. So I want to bring this message to a conclusion now, and I ask you this question. What does your future hold for you? Does it hold chastisement? Does it hold misery? Does it hold difficulty? Or does it hold joy and peace and blessing and glory for the Lord? What shall we do then this morning? If you are not a child of God, if you are still unconverted, you ought to do the very thing I am saying to Christians to do. Follow Christ. Go to him. Turn to him even this morning and say, Lord, I have been so far away. I have not known you. I haven't known any kind of a Christian life. My life has been simply a religious life, maybe, but not a Christian life. We'll go to the Savior. Some of you, might, like Peter, may be toiling while Jesus Christ stands calling out to you today. Understand that you don't have to remain at a distance from him. And if this message has found you in this condition, then seek the Lord this morning. Get things right with God. Put things right in your life. No more excuses, no more reasons why you do this and that. Maybe you need to go and deal with some people in your family. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness with some family. Maybe you have to say, we have been doing this wrong this while. I have not been following the Lord in this situation. Put things right and turn around. Then it is that the Lord unburdens you. And then you know what it is to have that joy and peace. But also when you do go through trials and temptations, you know that he's with you. You know his presence that is there near you. So what will it be, friends? May the Lord bless these things to us. We have been viewing a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands there as our Savior, as our friend of someone who has fallen. He's reaching down to Peter and he's picking him up. And that is what he does with all of his people. May this be the case today for each one of us. Amen.